Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The answer is a question. This is Wretched Radio. An email sent to idea@wretched.org, or was it a text? 877-282-2337. What are the rules about physical contact in dating? I'll add to that being engaged. And I think the answer to that question is found in a question. You're asking, what can we do together? And the answer is this question. What would you do with Widow Geldenstein at church? There it is. And if you say, well, I wouldn't cuddle and snuggle with her. Okay, then. You don't have the right and privileges to do that with somebody that you are dating or even engaged to. Why do I say that? A book called Water for My Camels. We talked about that this week. Was that just this week?
Yeah, that was this week.
Wow. Well, we didn't obviously cover the whole book. It's not that long, by the way. It's maybe 140 pages. It's got like 50 most often asked questions. We didn't cover all of the ground of the book. But he does have a pretty healthy section on the issue of intimacy prior to marriage. Obviously, flee from sexual immorality. That's a no-brainer. And so this fellow, Paul Grimmon, says, if it is any sort of activity that causes any sort of, I'll use the word enthusiasm, then you've crossed the line. Because that is just for married couples. Now, in the book, as I recall, he rightly defines relationships that are ordained in the Bible. And that is an excellent starting place in understanding what's permissible and what isn't. So you see relationships that God approves of, and the Bible, and I think common sense, dictates what are the privileges of those relationships. So we do see the relationship of husband and wife. What are the privileges? Intimacy. As simple as that. That is where you are to express yourself sexually, in the marriage bed, doing the things that both of you agree to. And you have rights and privileges to one another because God says so. Those are the parameters and the rules and the dynamics of that relationship. But we see some other relationships. We see, for instance, between elder and parishioner. What do you do physically with that person?
Shake his hand, but that's about it.
Okay. What about brother and sister in the Lord? Well, I wouldn't cuddle with them. Exactly. Why? Because God does not give you permission to do that, and it's simply not appropriate. Friendship is a relationship that God ordains. What would you do with your friends? Now, I'm talking friends. I'm not talking about romantic interest. I'm talking about friends. Would you hold hands? Well, maybe in some countries you would do that, but in the West, probably not. Why? Because they're a friend, and that type of physical contact could be construed as being too intimate. But I think regarding those issues, does it enthuse you? Does it excite you to do that? Then it's probably crossed that line. But understanding ordained relationships helps you to know where that line is. So what do we do with dating and engagement? Well, go look through your Bible for those words. You're not going to find them. So we don't see in the Bible that God says that you can do this or that with somebody you're dating or engaged to. So how do I know what to do? Well, what is your relationship to the person you're dating? And the answer is, they're a brother or sister in the Lord. That's one of God's ordained relationships. So what do you get to do with a brother or sister in the Lord? Does it involve cuddling, hugging, a smooch on the cheek? Okay, in some cultures, the smooch on the cheek would be a cultural thing, but not in our culture. So the relationship that you have with that person that you're spending a lot of time with is only brother and sister. Treat him or her accordingly. That's how you figure out the rules of intimacy and touching and cuddling. Water for My Camels, it's a helpful book. You may or may not agree with everything that it says, some of the shadings of different things, but it does tackle other aspects of this. You know, the cultural aspect of what's acceptable and what isn't. Dealing with your smartphone, clothing. But a hard and fast rule would be if it's an activity that is sexual in any nature, meaning it leads you to those thoughts, it leads you to those desires, it creates those desires. Verboten, you don't have permission in the dating or engaged relationship. And interestingly enough, I'm going to go find it because I might even try to get it into the booklet that I wrote on pornography. If this is wrong, I'm going to do some more research on this, but if this is wrong, I'll make a correction. But he said something in the book that when a husband and wife are together and they perform that intimate act, the body does something physiological. It releases chemicals, and they're chemicals that bond you with the other person. That the afterglow, if you will, that's a physiological response to what just happened. And so it got me to thinking, if that is accurate, I wonder if that isn't another reason that men and women who watch porn and do that intimate act by themselves are so miserable. Because that response that you have to the intimate act, it's designed by God to draw you into a one flesh relationship and have that close bonding moment together. And you don't get that alone. And maybe that's one of the contributors to the misery of those who are enslaved to porn. I'm going to do some research on that because I just wrote a book. It's called Play the Man. Just heads up on this. We haven't announced this yet, but heads up. I think in July, we'll be, I don't want to say taking orders because we're not going to charge you anything for them, but we're taking orders for cards that you can give away on campus that have a QR code to the book Play the Man. Which it's about pornography, but it's also about the gospel and the expulsive power of new affections that guys can watch this thing for. So you just go to the campus and you pass them out this fall. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of guys who are on university campuses who are feeling miserable and they are feeling dirty and they're feeling closeted. Oh, people knew what I was up to in the privacy of my own computer. Ugh. And the gospel can release them from that and they can be given a better alternative to pornography. And that is a relationship with their Savior. So that will be happening in July. Be on the lookout for that. And in the meantime, send stuff. Wretched stuff, preferably, to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, is it possible for a person to baptize themselves? Like in a situation where it's not possible to have a proper baptism?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're on a desert island all by yourself and you realize that you haven't been obedient now that you're saved and you want to be baptized, could you do that? I suppose the Lord knows your heart. He understands the circumstances. But I think as a rule, we're told to baptize. We also see that modeled. You don't baptize yourself. You get baptized by somebody. Now, there's a connection to baptism, and that is the public testimony of it. It does say something. It's intended to speak, not just as an act of obedience, but it's to preach the gospel to the people who watch it. We don't have any numbers in the Bible. 7 people need to watch it because that's the number of perfection or something like that. No, but it's everything that we see. People got baptized by somebody in front of someone because baptism speaks. So let me use this as an opportunity to speak. If you ain't been baptized and you're a believer, my brother or sister, you're being disobedient. Get on it. Get it done. Get baptized. And if you can hear my voice, presumably you can get baptized by another human being. 877-282-2337.
This is from Kayla. Todd, can you explain the difference between a pipe organ and a bagpipe?
Yeah.
Other than one being mobile.
Yeah. How's about one being heavenly and the other being in about the fourth ring of Dante's Inferno? Pipe organ, biblical, sort of. Pipe organ is a glorious instrument. Oh, the bagpipe. Sorry. I know maybe if you're in Scotland, you find the cult, you grew up with it. It's like, it solicits an emotion from you. That's my country. By the way, we stumbled into a series. It's been on for 7 seasons. It was filmed in Scotland. It's the story of a laird, L-A-I-R-D, laird, L-E, they might spell it with an E, nevertheless. The one who's got the land from the family, inherited, and owns the big house. Sort of like a Downton Abbey, but it's intended to be more comedic and just about the mismanagement of the place. And it's pleasant enough. It's sort of like, is it All Creatures Great and Small? Tim Challies just said that he loves that show. Maybe a show like that is just paces faster in Canada. The difference is, if your church wants to be biblical, pipe organ. If you want to torture human beings, bagpipe. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, whoever invented the bagpipes, I don't think he's finished yet.
This is, how many times have I heard this? This is Wretched Radio. Still poignant.
You ever look at that monstrosity? He must have thought there was a deadline at the patent office. He probably just ran in and threw that on a counter. Ah! Am I too late? What in the world is that? It's a bag! Pipes! Stuck in it! I stuck the pipes in a bag! Bagpipes! Now I see it. Why? What does it do? What does it do? It's a bag with a pipe! Stick it in and out of it! What does it do? What does it do? What does it do? What does it do? How can you tell if anybody's ever playing them well? You have a guy over here. He's the best. This guy's over here. He doesn't know how to play that thing. Stick your elbow more in the bag. Everybody knows that.
This is Wretched Radio. That's the difference between pipe organ and that thing called a bagpipe. Please send whatever you want to idea@wretched.org. Text away 877-282-2337.
Hey, I looked the word thesaurus up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a very specific word.
Sure.
There's not any other words. The closest word would be lexicon.
Yeah, and lexicon is closer to dictionary.
Yeah, that it points that out, but it's about the closest word. It says it's really the only word for
that. The next time that I need a comparison when it comes to irony, that's as ironic as there not being any synonyms for thesaurus.
Yeah.
That's what 877-282-2. Thanks for your sleuth work there, Jimmy. That was powerful work that you did there.
Thank you.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, you recently did a show on not being snarky to pagans. If God's grace is irresistible to the elect, our being snarky will be irrelevant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but if we're told not to do it, then it would be wrong to use that tone with people. Now that sound, you know what that sounds like? The argument that some people use, which I just find quite extraordinary. If babies die and go to heaven, then isn't abortion good? No, abortion is bad because God says it's bad. Being nasty or mean or condescending to people, it's forbidden. And so there's just no justification for it. Nor is there justification for not sending wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
So this is from Grace. Todd, lately I've been wondering if it's all right to pray for God to use adversity to bring someone to him. I know people can often turn to God in salvation in their low times, but is it okay to pray for God to bring about salvation through a hard circumstance for certain people who continue to resist him?
As long as it doesn't cross the line into vengeance or you're just exasperated. So whack them, Lord. We don't want to be praying like that, but can we petition the Lord to do what is necessary to bring about repentance or conversion? I think the answer to that is a careful yes, we can. If the desire is for that person's good, if it's just for them to experience bad, obviously we can't be praying that. But if you genuinely are like, Lord, I've been asking you to fill in the blank with fill in the blank person, and they're just not responding. So Lord, as you see fit, do what is necessary. If that means making life hard, I trust you to do what is right and good, but please use whatever means necessary to bring about whatever your request is. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it should be preceded, and it sounds like it is with you, proceeded with prayers. Lord, just save him. Lord, bring him to repentance, please, petitioning the Lord. But if after a season there's no advancement, Lord, please do it. If it's a hard thing, do a hard thing, Lord, because I'd rather see them struggle, even suffer a little bit, than spend eternity in a lake of fire. And I will trust you will do what is best and right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. At least I hope not, because I use that prayer a lot.
I was sitting here thinking, I do the same thing.
When I think about our brothers and sisters overseas, and when I want to pray for them, and wow, it's Nigeria. They're just taking a beating these days, and it's the religion of peace that's making it. It used to be communism. Now it's just Islam almost exclusively that is just inflicting so much harm on so many Christians. When you think about those people, and it's like, Lord, convert them. Well, I will actually tell you what I say for whatever this is worth. Lord, convert them or remove them. How the means that he chooses to do that, that's up to, if it even means death, protect my brothers and sisters. If it means driving them out, if it means hardship, do what is necessary for the protection of my brothers and sisters who are being drubbed even as we speak. So Lord, convert them or remove them. And by the way, I say that same prayer for false teachers. They are, woo, they're raking it in overseas, and I want them to be converted or to be removed so that they don't inflict damage. And I will simply trust the Lord to do it through whatever means he deems necessary. And that could include hardship, imprisonment, death, as he sees fit. I sure hope that prayer is okay, because I've been praying it for years. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from David. It's a text. Todd, should I make my 12 and 16-year-old kids read their Bible?
Yes. Keep sending emails to 877-282-2. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you say, I think what might be motivating that question is, what about a teenager who doesn't want to? That gets a little dicier depending on the age of the kid. I would say that I think that there's some wisdom that needs to be applied, and I think different parents might come to different conclusions. But when they're underneath your household, your rules, as long as you're not mandating sin, are your rules, and they need to adhere to the rules. So if you determine you got to sit and read your Bible, they got to sit and read their Bible. Now, having said that, when a child gets to a particular age where they're just willfully going, look, I don't want to read, I don't believe it, I think that there's liberty. You could choose to force them because it is your home. But I also think you could say, you're old enough and the consequences of your rebellion are very clear. You are on a highway to hell, son or daughter. And if you're going to choose to not read the Bible, I'm not going to be like a Pharisee making you do something religious for the sake of religiosity. So don't read it to your own peril. So I think different parents are going to make different decisions. There might be a third voice that enters in and says, no, no, it's your duty to do that. You've got them underneath your care and you are called. No, you're commanded to train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You are to be speaking the word everywhere that you go with everything that you do, whether they like it or not. In other words, I think it's up to you. Jimmy, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. Especially if they're not saved, they don't desire it, and to force them to do a task, I don't know. I think
it's like bringing them to church.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Now, for instance, I know Mike Fabares would say, you bring them to church, because then they sit underneath the preaching of the word and God can use that to save them. That would be the line that he doesn't even bat an eye when I talk to him about this subject. I think there's other parents who would make the case that, hey, why would I want to force somebody to read about Jesus Christ when they are professing their hatred for him?
Yeah, so I guess my position is not forcing them to read it, like sitting in your room and you read your Bible. I'm your father. I'm shepherding your heart. So let me read it with you. Let me guide you through this. I think that's probably...
I think that's an option too.
Yeah.
But if, you know, so the kid's sitting there all sullen and sulky.
Well...
Fine, whatever. Hurry up. How many more verses do we have? You got that going on.
Yeah.
I just think that there's some liberty and wisdom needs to be applied, because one thing that is certain are all of the uncertainties of any given scenario. There's just complexities. Now, which is why, too, it is regularly wise. Now, was this a dad or a mom that wrote in?
David, that's a father.
Well, these days, okay, we'll just stick with traditional. The dad, talk to other dads. This is the type of stuff that we can be talking about with one another, as opposed to, hey, who'd you pick for the Final Four? All well and good, but glean some wisdom from some other dads in the context of your local church. It will simply help you to make wise decisions, because you'll be able to share all of the nuances, all of the details, and they might affirm or correct you. Regardless, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And if you have a Bible verse that supports a particular position, send it 877-282-2337. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.